Blog Talk Radio.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. But the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus.
And when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Sound of music, Mother Mary comes to me, singing words of wisdom, let it be.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter. who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Yes, Journey, we journey with her every week, except for the last week where we had a Thanksgiving break. But after a two-week break here, we're back, and tonight we journey with Mary to Rome, Italy, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But every week we do journey somewhere with her where she has made an appearance somewhere in the world. Many people don't realize that she didn't just appear in Europe, despite popular belief. It wasn't just France, Spain, Italy, Germany, etc. It was, how about Africa and India and Russia and China and Vietnam and Korea and, yeah, lots of other places, Australia even. So, you know, she's been all over the place, and there probably hasn't been a place that she hasn't appeared. It's just whether we get a report or not. Some people don't want to make it a public deal. People don't often want to talk about their private experiences. I know several people have had experiences, and they're not listed in the major list that's out there. So I have a feeling that she's been making many more visits than we even are aware of. But nevertheless, it's over 2,660-some that are listed in the last 2,000 years. So that's more than one a year, and then she appeared sometimes for many years in certain places. So she's been very busy. And on this show, we look closely at why did she appear in that place? What was the timing? What was the purpose? Why in that particular location did she make an appearance? There's often a pretty good reason. Perhaps there was a famine coming. Perhaps there was a war going on. Perhaps there was a lack of Catholicism in the area. It had died out for some reason. Or maybe there's a potato famine like in Ireland. I mean, there are many reasons why she would make an appearance and lift the spirits of those who were suffering. Sometimes she came to make predictions, warn people. So a lot of interesting reasons, and this show tries to take a look at each appearance and try to figure out, okay, why there, why then, and what came of it. Sometimes we're lucky to be left with miracles and miraculous objects or happenings, and we always bring those up. Sometimes science has investigated certain parts of the experience, and we always present those details as well. And even though there's going towards 2,700 on record, I've only studied 100. I know, that sounds awful, only 100. But you ask any Catholic how many they know about, and they'll be lucky to list more than six. Because they're always taught Fatima, Lourdes, and Guadalupe. There's three. Now, name another three. Maybe they'll name the Miraculous Medal. Maybe they'll mention Medjugorje. Maybe they'll remember some other place. But chances are not too many do. So my 100 is a lot more, and the good thing about that, it's the best 100, the best detail, the most information, the most research. So you're getting the cream of the crop. You're getting the top 100 out of all those. As far as we know, I mean, it depends on documentation, translations, where the records were kept. I mean, who made records, you know, all that stuff. It's not a sure thing that when she appears that everybody's going to make proper documentation and do all that stuff like we would want them to. You never know. There's so many different countries and places involved in so many different time periods. So anyway, we'll be going to Rome, Italy in a few minutes. I have one loyal member of my team here tonight, and that's Doc from Tennessee. How are you doing, Doc?
I'm doing. I'm not feeling very well, so I hope I make the whole show, but I'm here.
Well, we might have a shorter show. It's a short story, and you're the only other person present at the moment, so we might make it a shorter one, but that's
right.
Fine. Hang in there if you can.
yeah, I'm here.
Well, we're always glad to have our team members. And I know during the holidays we have a lot of things going on and a lot of events people get tied up with. So I'm the one with the stories, so it's good I'm here.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. All right. Well, let's just go ahead and dig into our story. again, it happened in Rome, Italy in 1842. An Austrian Jew named Alphonse Ratisbon was the youngest son of an important banking family in Strasbourg. Alphonse was a Jew by race and religion and was very well off in material possessions. He harbored a great hatred for Catholics and anything to do with the Catholic Church, largely due to his brother George converting and becoming a priest. He blamed the Catholic Church for bewitching his brother. A series of mishaps brought him to Rome, a city he had vowed to never visit. He became acquainted there with Baron Theodore de Bussières, a very fervent Catholic. What do you think of that, Doc, where he blames the church for bewitching his brother?
I've heard that before. It sounds like he's just lacking in catechism.
yeah.
I've noticed that a lot of people, and I'm guilty of it myself. I'm a convert. I believe so much garbage about the Catholic Church, what it is, what it means, what it stands for, what they believe. Later on, I went through the RCIA class, and I went through the steps. But to be perfectly honest, my wife was a better catechist than I got going through the RCIA class. You need to find somebody, if you're serious about it, don't just go to any catechism class, because a lot of them, they're just regurgitating. They're not actually teaching. You want to find somebody who actually knows the faith and can
right.
tell you the answer to the question why. If you're going somewhere and you say, well, why do Catholics do this? And they say, well, we've always done it, or you have to have faith, run from that person because they don't know what they're talking about. I'd ask my wife, why do Catholics do this? And she said, well, on this date, this person did this. And, I mean, actual answers, you know, that you could look up and verify and quantify. So, you know, yeah, I could see that.
And that's why in my last book, which you have, I was presenting all these topics that are debated, and I suddenly realized, oh, my gosh, I need to put a chapter on Catholics in there because there's so much
yeah.
misunderstanding and misinformation. And you know, because you read it, that I tackled
right.
a lot of those questions.
Yes, you did. That was a show me one, right?
Yep. Show me God.
Yeah.
I am. So, yeah. Yeah, it just dawned on me when I was writing that. Oh, my gosh. There's so much about Catholics. I need to put that in there. And I'm glad
right.
I did, because there was a lot of stuff that is, like you said, misunderstood, misrepresented. You know, like we pray to Mary and we worship statues and all sorts of things
yeah.
that aren't true, you know. But anyway, so going on, one afternoon during a raging argument with Bussières, Ratisbon was ridiculing the superstitions, that's what he called it, the superstitions of the Catholic religion. Baron Bussières challenged him to submit to a simple test and wear the the miraculous metal. Now, we've talked about the miraculous metal just recently. Came from Paris, France, when the visionary saw Mary, and Mary says, hey, I want a medal made. It was going to be the Immaculate Conception medal, but there were so many miracles that happened that it got nicknamed the miraculous medal instead. But so here, the Baron is challenging him to wear the miraculous medal. Ratisbonne consented so that he could prove the ineffectiveness of such religious baubles. The Baron also added that Ratisbonne must recite the Memorare once a day. He promised that he would, saying, if it does me no good, at least it can do me no harm. All right. So
that's one way of looking at it.
Yeah. Let's see here. Hold on a second. And so the Baron and a close circle of aristocratic friends increased their prayers for the skeptical Jew. One of them, Comte de La Farnese, was a devout but seriously ill Catholic who offered his life for the conversion of this young Jew. On that same day, Comte entered the church and prayed 20 memoraries, then suffered a heart attack and died. Yeah, he was sick, all right. Although Ratisbonne was ready to return the medal and leave Rome, the Baron asked Ratisbonne to accompany him the next day to the church while he was making funeral arrangements. Ratisbonne felt obligated due to the dead man's prayers. All right, hold on a sec. All right. While waiting for Bucer's, Ratisbonne wandered about through the church, admiring the beautiful artwork, but then decided to turn to leave out the front door. Suddenly, a huge black dog appeared and blocked his path. The animal was vicious, baring his fangs. As Ratisbonne froze in his place, unable to move, the dog vanished, and a brilliant light began glowing from a side chapel directly in front of him. As he stood before the altar dedicated to Saint Michael the Archangel, Our Lady suddenly appeared to him. This was January 20th, 1842. She was wearing a crown and a simple long white tunic with a jeweled belt around her waist, and blue-green mantle draped over her left shoulder. Her peaceful gaze reached deeply into his soul. Her hands were open, spreading rays of graces, just like with the miraculous metal story, her hands spread rays of graces. The light coming from her was so brilliant that he had to look away from her enchanting face and captivating eyes. Her height and elegance gave the impression of a great lady, fully conscious of her own dignity. She transmitted both grandeur and mercy in an atmosphere of great peace. He said that her hands, quote, expressed all the secrets of the divine pity, unquote. Ratisbonne understood that he was in the presence of the Mother of God. Although Mary never said a word to him, he felt that he understood everything. He fell to his knees, sobbing and converted. You know, that reminds me when I did research on people going to heaven and near-death experiences, et cetera, et cetera. When they got there, any question they had was immediately they also knew the answer. They understood all. They understood everything. And here's the Mother of God from heaven, presence, and without any words, he suddenly understood everything. So it's like he was touched by heaven for a moment. He didn't have to have anything explained to him. He now knew everything that he needed to know. Can you appreciate that, Doc?
Yeah, actually I can. Like I said, I'm a convert, and at one time, and I know you hear people say this, but I was probably the most anti-Catholic hellhound you've ever, me and you would not have been friends, John. You would have tried, and I would have done everything I can to make you hate me. Because I was angry. I had a lot to be angry about and everything like that. But the one thing, and the thing is, here's the contrast. People say, well, what happens when you find yourself in God? I would look at them, and I said this out of venomous hate. If you're God, you knew how it was going to turn out. So why did you make us go through it? Okay? But now right. I ask that same question, but it's your God. You know everything. Why? I mean, it's not out of arrogance. It's actually out of I have a need to know. You know, it's
right.
actually a genuine curiosity now. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I know there's a reason, and I think I found the answer to it. I do. I was reading the Baltimore Catechism, and I was reading the section on angels there in the beginning, and it talked about angels going through a test before they become angels. They pass the test, they're angels, they fail, they're demons. And that's when I got my answer. This is our test. We fail it. We are actually below demons because we're below angels. So, yeah, you're going to be the footstool for a demon if you fail the test. And there's no do-over, and there's no, purgatory would be summer school. But one day it's going to be pencils down. You know, there's a book. I suggest everybody get this book. It's called My Daily Bread. And the nun that wrote it, I don't know her name, but she talks about something, and I'm going to look at it right here, on death. And, it's a short paragraph. You want me to read it? I think it'll go. I mean, it'll fit this. Few things are certain in this earthly life. The most certain fact of all is that I am to die. When, where, and how, I do not know. That I shall die, however, is certain. Many people are dying at this moment. I am too busy with my own life to give much thought to them. So will it be when I am dying. That moment will be very important to me, but the world will go right on about its business. If I do not prepare for death by a good life, I'm a fool. And, you know, I mean, that this is our test. You know, I've read a lot of things, John. That is probably the most profound thing I've ever read.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
Very profound.
Mm-hmm. Confraternity of the Precious Blood. They put it out. And,
right.
I mean, it's a little brown book. It's got some readings. It's got an imprimatur, John J. McKenna, Providence of New York, back in 1954. So it's been around for a minute. That's what I think about that. So getting back to what we were talking about, I think that, you know, like you said, he knew the answers to the questions. And I think once we go, my question as to why will be answered in a more profound way than this is a test. But I think this is a test is probably the best way to say it now, because we're all being tested, you know. So
I have heard other visionaries. In fact, one's a friend of mine meets with Mary in the 13th very month in Perryville, Missouri. And he told me when he first had his experiences with Mary, he fell into almost like a trance and fell down. He didn't hurt himself, but he fell down and kind of blacked out. But he said it was like a million bits of information downloaded into his brain all at once. And he just understood everything. And again, he was with Mary at that moment. But I thought that was interesting the way he put it, that a million bits of information were downloaded into his brain all at once. And
yeah, it'd be nice to be able to take that with you when you wake up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Ugh. So anyway, interesting point there. So this guy, he's on his knees, he's praying, he's totally converted now, he understands it all, he's in the presence of Mary. Mary never had to even say a word. And
right.
He's totally converted. Well, the Baron came along now. Baron was surprised to find him praying fervently on his knees. Ratisbon immediately asked to go to a confessor so that he could receive baptism. 11 days later, he received baptism, confirmation, and his first communion. The entire Catholic world became aware of this amazing conversion. Ratisbon,
they put him on a fast track.
Oh, man. Ratisbon then became a Jesuit priest, and he founded a religious group, the Daughters of Zion. And guess what the purpose of the Daughters of Zion was? To help with the conversion of Jews to Catholicism. Oh, my goodness. So that was an amazing, tale, because here we've got a man who hated Catholics, thought his brother was bewitched and turned into a priest, and just didn't want to visit Rome, could care less about any of this stuff, wore the stupid miraculous medal and said the memorare and was ready to leave Rome. But as he tried to leave that church, that black dog appeared out of thin air. I've never heard of the black dog appearing before, but it obviously was supernatural because it blocked
his
path.
Well, you've heard of hellhounds. You don't think that God's got a few puppies running around up there?
Well, it scared the crap out of him. He froze.
Huh?
But he froze when he saw it. But what's good about that is then Mary took over from there. It's obviously it was all very cleverly orchestrated by
heaven. Yeah, I mean, let's say the dog didn't appear. It was just Mary. And his state of mind, I mean, I'm not saying he would have brushed her off. The dog kind of centered his attention. You know, we run our lives. People multitask when they're sitting still. They don't even realize it. Or at least I do. sometimes you need a little focus them. And that's what I think that was. But, yeah, that's the first one I've heard of with a dog.
Yeah. But I think
has there been?
Cool.
I mean, you've studied more of them than me. Have you? Do you know of any other ones with a dog?
No. Uh-uh. No,
really?
I mean, like you
said,
we hear of hellhounds and stuff, but not to keep a person from leaving a church.
that would be hellhounds keep you from going in.
But I think this guy was so against Catholics, maybe it was easy to raise a hellhound. Maybe it was.
I think it might have been a heaven hound. But like I said, you know, I think.
Yeah.
They needed something drastic to get his attention. And that's
worked.
Why that was. I mean, that's my only. That's only my thought on it. That it was an attention game.
I think that's a good point, because if it had just been her showing up, he probably would have thought, okay, is this some kind of trick? But when he saw the dog appear out of thin air, snarl at him, and then vanish in a flash of light, I mean, that gets your attention real quick.
Yeah, no kidding. And then Mary's there. You know, okay,
yep.
Mary, yeah, you keep that puppy still, and I'll do whatever you want.
Yep.
You know?
And then suddenly he understood everything.
that's the one I want.
Yeah. Well,
no,
cool
when I was going to school, I would literally drive my instructor crazy with one question. Why? Hey, don't give me that because the book says so. I've got the book. Why does the book say that? I mean, I would challenge them. You know, where's the research behind it? Show me empirical evidence. You know, and I've always been
right.
that way.
Right.
And then I
right.
did that to my wife, and she did.
I love it. That's great.
So
that's our story tonight. And next week, we will be going to one of my favorites, La Salette, France, 1846, just 4 years later. Just 4 years later, La Salette, France, up near Grenoble in the French Alps. And, what a story with tons of predictions and messages and a very memorable one indeed. So we'll go there next week. And actually, that's the end of our story. And we are it, Doc. So I appreciate you hanging in there, because I know you didn't feel good.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm thinking it'll pass in a day. I'm hoping it will.
Well,
I'll take tomorrow off, lay in bed all day. That'll make me feel better.
There you go. Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
So
get some vitamins in me.
Yeah. So due to your health and the fact that the rest of our team is off doing stuff, we'll end the show a little early. And like I said, next week we'll go to La Salette, France. That'll be an awesome story. It'll probably go 2 weeks because there's a lot of good information.
Okay.
A lot of messages. Yeah, you'll love that. There's messages that pertain to now, what we're going through now. So...
I've noticed a lot of the messages we're getting that we've received throughout can be applied to a lot of what's going on now.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, you'll really like those
it's
next
insane.
Week.
Huh?
That's if I would pick four apparitions that had terrific messages, next week is one of them, one of the big four, I would say. So just a lot of cool stuff. All right. So with that, I will say our worldwide Hail Mary, and we ask everyone out there listening to join in and say our worldwide Hail Mary. And together all our voices will rise in unison up toward heaven, all around the world, all at once. And that's pretty impressive to get everyone around the world saying it at the same time. So join with me now around the world. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And with that, I thank everyone out there for joining us tonight and hearing this little story about this amazing conversion. And again, the way Mary works to make things happen that led to a lot of people being impressed and amazed by this conversion. And not all conversions have to be amazing, but this was a very powerful one. And so with that, we will sign off, and we will see you all next week. I appreciate you, and we will be at La Salette, France next week. Thank you, Doc, for being here. Mm-hmm.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.